Welcome to Inner Healers, a radio show dedicated to bridging science and spirituality by sharing the latest news on integrative health and overall well-being from a spiritual standpoint. Producer Luciana Stiglich, BASM, is a medicine woman and will be your host in this adventure. Join her every Wednesday to remember you can heal from within. You are an inner healer. Are you ready? This journey starts right here, right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Inner Healers. I'm so happy and so honored to introduce today Ambika Waters to you. She's an amazing, amazing teacher. She's a spiritual teacher. I'm sure many of you remember her from our previous shows. And if not, I'm sure you have a book of the many books she's written. So she's an amazing spiritual teacher. She's also an amazing homeopath. I really believe she's like the mom of homeopathy in the States. So I'm sure you have read something from her already. She also writes about angels. And of course, she's the founder of Life Energy Medicine. Help me welcome Ambika. How are you today? Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you, Luciana, for having me on your show. I've known you now for almost 15 years, and it's always a delight to come on your show and share what's going on in our lives of healing.
Yes, and as I was telling Ambika, while we were getting the connection going, I really hope someday I'll be able to hug her, you know? She's an amazing, amazing being. And I'm so glad that we have her here with us, specifically in the times that we're living in, right? Because a lot of things are going on inside of us. And as a result of that, a lot of things are going on outside. So we have problems with climate change. We haven't been treating animals properly. Now we have this coronavirus mutation, which is new COVID-19. So let's talk a little bit first about homeopathy, which is Ambika's specialty, and she's really good at this. You really have to listen to her today. So can you please tell us, Ambika, first of all, for people who haven't heard you before or who really don't know what a homeopathy is, can we give a brief description to explain to them why is it so important to practice homeopathy in our days?
Yes, I'd be happy to talk about homeopathy. Homeopathy is a whole medicine, a complete medicine. It is approved by the FDA in the United States, as is acupuncture, herbalism, and conventional medicine, which is called allopathic medicine. I believe homeopathy is the second largest practiced medicine in the world today, and it probably rivals Chinese medicine, which has been around a very, very long time. Homeopathy is made from elements from the natural world. It's made from plants, animals, and minerals, and the realm of imponderables, which are things we can't see, like light, X-ray, color. And the way our medicine is made is very unusual. We take substance, let's say we take a drop of coffee, black coffee, one drop. We put it in 10 drops of alcohol, we succuss the bottle, we take one drop of that solution, put it in 10 more drops of alcohol and water. So that is a series of dilutions. Our remedies are highly diluted, often past the stage of molecular substance, which is after 12 dilutions. And these remedies are designed to address physical symptoms of pathology, which we are seeing with the virus, emotional symptoms like fear, anxiety, aggression, grief. Anytime the emotional body gets imbalanced, homeopathy has remedies that can bring us back under the principle that light cures light. That is the underlying principle of homeopathy, that light cures light. Allopathic medicine pushes symptoms down, suppresses them back into the body. Homeopathy, because of this law of signatures of treating the symptom with the medicine that has those symptoms in it, it brings things out onto the surface. Many times when we give a remedy, people will get like an itch, or they'll get a rash, or the detoxification process starts with homeopathy. It is, bottom line, a detoxifying medicine. And it will bring people back to levels of stability, levels of emotional balance, and mental clarity. You can't beat that, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't interfere with the will of man. That's another principle of homeopathy that's seldom talked about. But Hahnemann, Samuel Hahnemann, who was the founder of homeopathy, once said, never interfere with the will of man. That is your personal, proprietary gift from the Creator. Never, ever interfere with the will of man. And unfortunately, conventional medication is so heroic, it is so strong, that it rents the will. It's like if you took a piece of silk and you just tore it in half. The will gets rented and people become incapable of making wholesome decisions for themselves. When you interfere with the will, you are meddling in the process of wholesome decision making. Is this good for me? Is this bad for me? Does this work for me? Does this not work for me? So homeopathy doesn't go to that level, but it does address the physical, the emotional, and the mental level of people, animals, and plants. It's now been used in agriculture quite a lot, which is fantastic. You know, we're giving it to our roses. We're giving it to our vegetable gardens. So they become stronger. And that's what happens with homeopathy. The immune system really kicks in and it becomes strong. It becomes strong, it becomes courageous, it becomes capable of dealing with pathogens. And now in this time of the coronavirus, we need that. We need that a lot. So does that answer your question, Luciana? Do you need more? You want a whole class?
Actually, Ambika offers a 2-year instruction on life energy medicine, which is homeopathy. And she also, for those of you who haven't read her books, she also developed her own homeopathic system based on a color system, which is amazing. But some of the questions, for example, that I get from my clients when we are in consultation are, for example, is it safe to use it in pregnant women? Is it safe to use it with children? Is it safe to use it with elderly people?
It's gentle, safe, and effective. You can give it to pregnant women. You can give it to people who want to get pregnant. For one, people who are having trouble getting pregnant. It's a life-enhancing medicine. So we counsel our young women who are fertile, if you don't want to get pregnant, please take precautions because it is life-enhancing. I don't generally give remedies in the first 2 months of pregnancy, but after that, I use the biochemic cell salts for each month. That was a process that was developed by Thomas Mann, who was the chief druid and homeopath in Britain in the last century. It's a brilliant way of building strong, healthy fetus. We also have a wonderful protocol for childbirth. You can buy a kit from the homeopathic pharmacies with 18 remedies that are used in the different 3 stages of childbirth. And it's really makes it easy for the mother and the baby. When I do that, when I have a pregnant woman, and I've got one now who's ready to drop her baby in the next week or so. She's from Argentina. We instruct the father or the doula or the midwife who's going to be in attendance how to administer the remedies, because when a woman's in childbirth, she doesn't really think about the remedies. She's got another job to do. We use them on infants. We use them post-vaccine. We treat from conception right through to death. We have remedies that help people assuage their fear so that they can pass over. Yes, I have two 96-year-old women I treat currently. So yes, you can use it in old age. You just need to know how to use it gently, very gently. And at all stages of life, all stages of development, all stages of life, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Because we have these initiations in life where we are called to tap into our courage and tap into a vision for what we want. And in order to make that transition, we need the energy in order to do it. And that's where homeopathy is excellent. People say, oh, I'm in a job, it's going nowhere, I don't like it, they're taking advantage of me, I don't know what to do, and they become more and more miserable. And what happens with negativity is the immune system just nosedives. It doesn't thrive. And if the immune system goes down, trust me, you'll get something. You'll get a cold, you'll get the flu, you'll get indigestion, something. Your physical body is supported by your mental body. And it's totally dependent upon your ability to have a vision of where you want to go and how you're going to get there. So homeopathy really helps people through these initiations. And I love it. I see it at every stage of life, from infants to toddlers, from toddlers to little kids, from little kids to children, from children to adolescents, from adolescents into adulthood, different stages of adulthood. It's particularly useful for women in menopause, men going through what I call the male menopause, the changes in life, which are constant. Nobody's dismissed from change. It's part
of
our...
It's the actual only constant in life.
It's the only constant in life, absolutely. And if we get stuck or we get frightened or we're not sure we can make that jump, that's when I do my best work with remedies. Here, take a little of this. This will help you make a clear decision. It doesn't do anything to you. It just opens that channel for healing to happen.
Right. So I have a question that might be tricky, because for some time now, many people have been avoiding vaccines. You know, they have been avoiding vaccinating their children.
I call this a tricky question. This is the most contentious question in homeopathy.
Exactly. And for us homeopaths, we understand vaccines as a very different way, right? Because as you were saying, we should never impose our will onto the will of someone else. So why can you tell us about the perspective of vaccines from a homeopathic standpoint?
Okay, we're diving into deep water here. Vaccines are made from live diseased matter. Let me make that perfectly clear. And when you put live diseased matter into very tiny little six-day-old bodies, you are assaulting the central nervous system. There are many, many vaccines now. When I started homeopathy, there were maybe 8 to 10 vaccines that were used. Now there's 16 or more that are given within the first week of life. And they have a huge effect on the central nervous system, and they can really impede development. But I do need to say this about vaccines. And this is really important to understand now, because human rights are being violated by the idea of global vaccination for the virus. Any vaccine can be antidoted, and that's really important. I have screaming mothers and concerned parents and teachers and all kinds of people saying how terrified they are by vaccines. Highly empowered people go into absolute victimhood over this concept of vaccination. Vaccines can be antidoted easily, easily. And that's something that homeopaths do, and we do it with regularity. We give the remedies that stop that vaccine from attacking and paralyzing the central nervous system. And that's important to remember. We also have protocols made from the vaccines into homeopathic potencies that if somebody, let's say an autistic child, a very sensitive and fragile child who can't speak, who is chronically constipated, who can only eat cheese because it soothes their mucous membranes, who flap around and get hysterical when they're in pain. That's one of the symptoms of what we call vaccinosis. Vaccinosis is the damage caused by vaccination. And that's all vaccination. Let me make this really clear. That is all vaccination. So we take those vaccines, we turn them into homeopathic remedies in various dilutions, from a 30C, which is 30 dilutions in 100 drops of alcohol, all the way up to 10,000 dilutions in alcohol. And over a period of about 6 weeks, we can help take off that layer of vaccinosis. If you're going to do the whole vaccine chart, you know, everybody, I think the World Health gives a card, a universal card, where the vaccine date is stamped. There is a protocol. Don't do this yourself. This is not for anybody who's not trained in how to do this. So this was developed, this process was developed by Tinnis Smits, a medical doctor from Holland, who created the CEAS therapy, C-E-A-S-E therapy for dealing with damaged children and adults who've been vaccinated. So it takes about 14 to 18 months to do all the vaccines because you have to let the body rest. But I've seen miracles happen. I've seen children who couldn't talk, who were in absolute terror of even leaving their house, very obsessive children. I've seen them become beautiful human beings who can communicate, who can talk, who can learn in school, who aren't afraid to go out, who can deal with life. It's a miracle. I worked for 4 years in nothing but autism. That's all I treated. And I used this protocol developed by Tinnis Smits. God bless him. He passed over, I think in 2008, but he left us with an incredible legacy of how to treat vaccinosis. And it's powerful, it works, and it brings children back. And you can't ask for anything more than that. It's a very contentious subject, very contentious. You can talk about the wonders of homeopathy, and there'll always be a little old lady in the back of the room who'll go, and what about vaccination? And you can feel your stomach just turn over.
Yeah, so now that we've talked about this, and I think...
I've got one more thing I want to say about it.
Yes.
Vaccination is developed for the public good. But it doesn't take into account high sensitivity levels, a genetic predisposition, or weakened immune systems in young people. It doesn't treat the individual. It's not designed to. It's designed to do the greatest good for the greatest number. And unfortunately, it doesn't. We don't do vaccination, but we do prevention. We build immunity. That's our job, to build the immune system. And we're very cautious. We treat the individual. We take very thorough histories. We are trained to find out as much about you and what you are and who you are, what you do, what you like, what you dislike. Our interviews at the beginning are 2 hours long. Most people are, if they get 15 minutes from their doctor, they're lucky. So we take a thorough history. We want to know every disease you ever had. We want to know every medication you swallowed or got every injection you had. We want to know the pain, trauma, suffering, and loss of your life, because that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in those attachments. And homeopathy can very gently unwind that so that you're back on track with your life. I do not encourage anybody to get hysterical or to go into victimhood over vaccination. Really, there's a way to deal with it. If you do feel that you want your child vaccinated, the only vaccination we actually encourage is polio, because it's generally endemic in the water supply. Other than that, and then we watch to make sure that that vaccine at some point is taken off the system. So we want to stay strong, especially in this time. And we want to believe that change is possible and health is ours to claim more than anything. And if you get stuck, if you get your foot stuck in the railroad track of vaccination, you're just going to take everything down. So don't go there. My encouragement is do not go there. Talk to a professional homeopath. Come take a class. Learn about what this medicine is. Learn how to use it for your family, particularly your children. And find out that there's an easier way, a gentler way, a way that's not going to leave scars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think this is very important, what you just said, because there's many people out there super worried about the effects of vaccines in their bodies and how they relate to their psychological side and their emotional side and their spiritual side, you know, their soul. And this takes me to the next question. So one of the things that I love about homeopathy is that this system of medicines, it considers the psychological part of the person. I think this is something amazing that Hahnemann left us with. So can we explain shortly to our listeners, how is it that this medicine considers the mental part and the emotional part of the person when treating them?
Sure. Pretty simple. We are not machines. We are not mechanized. And if you look at the body as a piece of machinery that functions or doesn't function, you're missing the strongest part of the being, which is the spirit. The spirit embodies every cell, every single cell. It embodies the field around us, our auric field, our etheric field, our astral field, our egoic field is filled with the power of spirit, and that power addresses our emotions. The Chinese say there are basically only four emotions. There's aggression, there's anxiety, there's grief, and there's joy. And everything else is a variation on that theme. And I think the more I've done this work, I am inclined to agree with that. You can identify many different precise emotions, but they tend to fall in one of those four categories. The Chinese have made a medicine that's ancient, 8,000 to 10,000 years old, maybe longer, maybe 15,000 years, if the Tibetans claim their medicine goes back that far. Every organ has an emotion. The organ of the liver holds anger. The gallbladder holds indecision. The heart holds love or the grief of loss of love. The lungs, grief. When the lungs go down, grief. The stomach is about our ability to break down thoughts and ideas, to digest ideas. It's not just food we break down. We break down ideas. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Does this work for me? Does it not? So I like that system. I'm not trained in acupuncture, but there's a lot about its philosophy that I do like. We use something called the acupuncture clock in homeopathy. When the organs are up, when they're at their high point, when they're at their low point in the 24-hour cycle, and we've added remedies to that. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. And in England, where I trained, a lot of homeopaths had been acupuncturists, so they brought their philosophy to us. I was once told, don't ever take a medicine that is not based in philosophy. Homeopathy is based in philosophy. We have pillars of truth that have never changed in 250 years. We expand our materia medica, keep looking at more things from the natural world, sea remedies, fish remedies, plant remedies, mineral remedies. The whole periodic table of elements is now turned into remedies. The beautiful plant kingdom of thousands and thousands and thousands of remedies, and animals, their secretions, their venoms, even the sweat off a horse's back has been turned into a remedy that treats herpes. Would you believe it? I mean, it's an incredible medicine to explore. And I've been doing this for over 30 years and I still study. Every week I find new things. And I go, why didn't I know this before? Yes, I love this medicine. And I love the natural world. But one of the things I used to do when I taught a live school, not a virtual school, was I would take my students to the botanical gardens. And we'd say, look, this little flower can stop a headache. Look at this little plant. Look at that tree. Everything is a remedy given to us by the Creator. Everything. Yeah. Including drugs. That's another form of homeopathy. We call it tautopathy, which is we take medicines that people have OD'd on or that have stayed in their body, in their systems, and we turn it into a remedy. Flagyl, Paxil, Prozac, all these now are remedies because people have been overprescribed, and that gets that out of the system. We believe in genetic predisposition. That's another thing that is worth talking about. We call genetic predisposition the miasms, and we break down chronic conditions into which miasm they fit into, and they do. So we will sometimes not only give a remedy, we will give what's called a nosode, which is made from live diseased matter and potentized, and it will help transform the genetic predisposition to heart disease, to cancer, to diabetes, to mental illness, to addiction. This is the part of homeopathy that I think is truly the most fascinating, because there's only so much the mind can do. You can tell people, don't take a drink, don't smoke a joint, don't take that medicine that's going to eat your stomach lining up. But if you can transform the biochemistry of that person's being and detoxify the underlying miasm, you have an opportunity to eliminate chronic disease. An opportunity. It doesn't mean you're always going to win, but it does give a person an opportunity for treating alcoholism, drug addiction, medications that are what I call heroic, just too strong for the being. And you can help restore balance this way. It's a brilliant system that I love.
Because I love the way in which you explain it to us, right? Finally, the whole idea of homeopathy, and I think the idea of medicine itself, is to restore the balance in the body, right?
In the spirit.
Yes.
The highest level of ascendancy is in the spirit. And when everything is working, when the body is functional, when the emotions are balanced, when the mind is clear, the spirit is free. And yes. Freedom is everything. Freedom is everything.
Yes, because in a way, the body is the result of that. So when I think, when I was learning this, I was explained that it was, we should always say in the bodies. But then with my clients, they didn't understand when I use the plural in bodies, because they were like, hey, I just have one body. So it's like, okay, I mean, the body, the physical body is the result of the integration of all these other bodies, right? The emotional body, the mental body, etc. So yes, what you're saying is correct. So it's like the way in which we approach medicine and the way in which we approach the body as a result, and also all the physical symptoms and signs that we have as a result of how all of these other bodies behave between them. I think it's really beautiful, and it's sometimes a little bit complicated to understand by some people. But I think it's a beautiful way of approaching sickness and approaching, you know,
health. Approaching health.
Yes, sickness and health. You're right. So, which takes me to the focus of our conversation today, which has to do with a specific virus and a specific sickness that comes due to this virus. The virus is called SARS-CoV-2, and it's a mutation from original SARS, and it mutated in bats. And this is what we now know as COVID, you know, the sickness that goes in the body, which is called COVID-19. And I have a specific question regarding this, because when this virus developed or mutated in the body of the bats, it got more complicated for humans, because when bats are about to fly, their temperature rises. So while they're flying, the temperature is high, and then when they have to fly back home, again, their temperature rises, which means this virus has developed in a host that is usually or constantly elevating its temperature. So now going back to how viruses work in humans, usually the human body, one of the ways in which the human body defends itself from a virus is elevating its temperature so that it can kill the virus. But in this case, this virus is already used to fever. It's already used to high temperatures. So the fever will not really kill it. And so the body doesn't know exactly how to deal with this virus. So how does homeopathy perceive the virus and the sickness that it generates in the body?
Well, I'm not trained to answer that question, but I can tell you about the virus from my experience. Many people are putting out information on what they call the genus epidemicus. What remedy is going to treat this epidemic, this pandemic? The National Center for Homeopathy in the United States said it was laurocerises. Other homeopaths have said it's arsenicum mal, which has been used repeatedly for 250 years in epidemics. Rajan Sankaran out of Bombay, really world-class homeopath, worked with an Iraqi doctor. I think he said Iraq, maybe he said Iran, I'm not sure. Worked with a medical doctor from the Far East, and they came up with camphor. Now, it's interesting what you said. I'd never heard that about the raised elevation from bats, but camphor is a coolant. And maybe that's how it works. It cools the body. It cools the mind. I was taking arsenicum alb to the beginning of the virus, arsenicum alb and aconite, because I was afraid. I was afraid when I went out into the street. And I would kind of go into the store, you know, my head down, frightened. And then I'm on a huge Facebook link with hundreds of homeopaths worldwide, India, Britain, Germany, France, Argentina, Mexico. And what came out was Sankaran sent out this worldwide Facebook notice about camphor. And I thought, camphor, now there's a remedy that cools. So I had some you have to keep it separate from all other remedies because it will antidote other remedies. That's how strong it is. So I took some and suddenly my fear disappeared. I mean, gone. Went to the store, did what I had to do. No fear. And I thought, no fear? Man, no fear is the gift of gifts. I started offering it to people I knew. And one woman said, my God, I haven't felt this good since I heard about the virus. She said, I have no fear. And that has repeatedly been the experience, no fear. It's a preventative. There are some homeopaths that say we don't do preventative work, and generally we don't. But when it comes to influenza, we do. When it comes to viruses, we do. So camphor now has become the remedy of choice for me. And the other thing I've seen, I've treated three cases of the virus, and what I've seen is they've all gotten very raw sore throats. I mean, septically raw sore throats. And I've given Nux Vomica 10M and gone within half an hour. I gave it to a little 11-year-old boy. His grandmother FedExed the remedy from my home to Los Angeles. And he kept saying, "Mom, it burns like when I drink hot chocolate." Gave him the Nux Vom 10M. Good to go. So those are the two remedies. I'm sticking with what I know. There are a lot of people throwing remedies out there. I do believe, I'm actually just writing up a class now for my students on post-virus, because people are going to have symptoms post-virus, especially if they're taking chloroquine. Chloroquine is an extremely powerful drug that has consequences. It can cause aplastic anemia. I'm not saying don't take it. I think if it was a choice between death and chloroquine, of course you take chloroquine and you deal with the symptoms later. But if there's a choice, if you have the opportunity to get your hands on some camphor from a local or national homeopathic pharmacy in your country, you get it because it works. It's a good preventative. I've taken it twice now. I found that after 2 weeks, I needed to repeat it. And I'll repeat it every 2 weeks until this virus is finished. And I'm looking at other remedies. I found that Influenzinum, which is the nosode of influenza itself, is an incredible remedy for post-viral symptoms. I too, like you, had, I'm not going to say, I don't think I had corona. I think I had influenza A. Back in early February, and I was really ill. And it was, I've got to say, it was one of my students, a doctor who was on the class, who said, "Look at this remedy, Ambika." So I got into my book, and I'm like, "Oh my God, it's every symptom I've got." It was China arsenicosum. And I took it, and I was on my feet the next day. I mean, really, it was stunning. But you still have to purify the blood. You have to tone the organs. You've got to regenerate your cell structure. And that's what I've been doing since mid-February. And I just came across Influenzinum. It's an incredibly good remedy. It's been used for 150 years. It's a long time. It's got a great track record. And it gets rid of things like palpitations, low blood pressure, lameness, paralysis of the extremities, fainting, epilepsy. It's an incredible remedy for post-viral conditions. And what they're saying is this generally goes back to the original illness that you might have had 50 years ago. Pay attention. It's not just this virus. It's how many of you had in your life. I started to count back. I was like stunned how many times I'd had influenza in my life. So I'm finding a real success with this remedy right now. For myself, and I'm writing it up for my students to read. I like, do you know Franz Vermeulen? Have you ever come across Franz? Mm-hmm. Franz is a Dutchman. He lives in America. This wonderful book, Monera, which is about bacteria and virus. Just think it's one of the best things I ever read. It's the gone with the wind of homeopathic books. I love it. So we're in medicine where inquiry and curiosity go a long way. We are not prescriptive. We treat the individual, always treat the individual. But I'll tell you where we've had great success is with the pandemics of the world. The statistics are the allopaths are losing 70, 80% of their clients to death, and homeopaths are winning with 95% of their people being cured. I mean, you look at the statistics, the Spanish flu in 1919, the SARS epidemic, H1N1, going back to typhoid epidemics that ran through the Napoleonic Wars. We win with epidemics. Who knew? You know, and that's using genus epidemicus, one remedy to treat the whole population. Doesn't happen very often. We are highly, highly individualistic in our approach.
Maybe we could explain that a little bit more for our listeners, because in regular medicine, what people understand is that every disease is caused by a different virus. So, for example, the virus that causes influenza is treated in a way, and the viruses that belong to the coronavirus family, which are the ones that generate SARS and MERS and now COVID-19, are completely different viruses, even though they belong to the same family. So the way in which this medicine treats this virus is different to the way in which us homeopaths address the symptoms due to these viruses. So can we explain a little bit about that to our listeners?
Well, I'll do the best I can. I'm not a scientist. I'm not. I'm a clinical practitioner. And what I do know is that we're looking for symptoms that need to be treated. The respiratory organs, the trachea, the bronchial tubes, the lungs, they need to be fortified. Because when this does hit, it just generally hits the lungs. It hits the blood. The blood begins to deteriorate after a certain length of time at high temperatures. Then there's the toxins that get into the joints that create such unbearable pain in the head and neck and spine and joints. And, you know, so we're looking for remedies that address these symptoms. Camphor addresses a lot. It's very good for the lungs. There are many other remedies that we use also for the lungs. Creosotes come up, causticums come up, phosphorus has come up, and that is pretty much geared to the individual. Eupatorium plurif, which is the remedy, God bless Eupatorium plurif, it's a remedy for joint pain, that if you get this flu, I mean, it's just like you're 280 years old and you can't move, you're laying, nothing moves, and you're in acute pain. Eupatorium plurif takes those symptoms off, and God bless it, I'll tell you. Bring your fever down with Calc Fos. Bring your whole economy back into balance with Arsenicum Alb. China Arsenicosum was what I used. There, we were looking to remove the toxicity. That's what we're doing. I think your approach is very scientific, but I'm not familiar with it, so I'm learning from you as you speak, and I appreciate it. I see that you're steeped in this, and I'm not. I just want people better, and I want them better quickly. I love my Materia Medica. I love the philosophy of homeopathy, but I stay far from science. It's not my field. I'm much more about the spirit. I'm much more about the spirit and creating ease in the economy. Mm-hmm. And I'm good at it. I'm good at what I do, but I don't...
You're amazing. You're more than good. The thing is that you're humble, but truth is you're really, really, really good at this.
But I'm only interested in one thing, is please get better and get better soon. I don't dance with science. Some people love it. I don't.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
But I see you do, and I see you're very good at it, and that's... It's fascinating. I mean, I'm going, oh, really? That's great. Oh, didn't know that. That's a good one.
So one last thing that's very important also in homeopathy is when we find the soul remedy. Can we talk to our listeners about this?
You're talking constitutional or soul remedy? Differentiate that for me.
Soul remedy in the sense that sometimes there is one remedy which we can give to our patients, and this goes exactly to what is causing sometimes more than one symptom. And this
is the constitutional. You're talking constitutional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't call that soul remedy, but I understand what you're saying. So we call that a constitutional remedy, and everybody's got their constitutional remedy. What is the remedy that's going to do the most good for you, the absolute most good at every level, physically, emotionally, mentally, just expand your field for goodness to flow into your life. We call that the constitutional remedy, and that comes from case taking, really good case taking. It doesn't, you don't pull this one out of a hat. It's not to treat a runny nose or loose bowels or achy joints. It's for everything. And that's how I treat people. I treat people constitutionally over a period of time, build their immunity, expand their capacity for goodness. And they really do the healing themselves. God does the healing, but they open to that. And that constitutional remedy will always work, almost always work. But if you get whatever comes your way, if you fall down and hurt yourself, if you get the virus, if you get vaccinated, whatever, your constitutional remedy will see you through, almost always see you through. Sometimes, though, it's hard to find the constitutional because people have had so many drugs, so many medications, so many falls, so many failures, so much grief. You have to pull those layers off, and that can take a while. And then you get that pure white light of the constitution. You go, ah, that's their constitutional. I treated a woman for cancer for about 18 months. She had colon rectal cancer and was very committed to living. I gotta say, she really wanted to live. And she was trained allopathically in the medical field, and she went through surgery, she went through chemo, she went through radiation. And we're told, you know, if you can get a person, if you're gonna treat cancer, you really want them as clean as possible, especially no radiation, because it's such an immune suppressant. She had everything. And I didn't really know if she was going to make it or not. She had a wonderful physician who gave her acupuncture, and she had homeopathy. And as we dealt with the cancer and it melted away and the remedies that were used for it, more and more of who she was showed up. And so I gave her the remedy that showed up, and she said, I love this remedy. Can I have more? More of it? Well, she found her remedy, and she's thriving on that remedy. She gets it regularly. Her eyes light up, actually, at the mention of it. She's now studying to be a homeopath. Her cancer is completely cleared up. She's, she went to her doctors. It's completely gone. And she wanted to study homeopathy. She's now a student in the school. But you just say the word of that remedy, it's like, ooh, I love that remedy. Because it's her remedy. It's her constitutional. We all have our constitutionals.
That is beautiful.
And the work is to find it. The work of the homeopath is to find that constitutional. But we have so many layers we have to peel off, peel off, peel off. And I believe it was an Argentinian homeopath, Isiaga, who said, it's like peeling an onion. It's like peeling an onion.
It very much is, and it takes time. It really takes time.
It's also a slow medicine. This is not, you don't get overnight results. Sometimes you do in acute first aid situations. But it takes time for this medicine to go in and transform the biochemistry, address the symptoms of the mind and the emotions. It takes time, but it took you a long time to get into that place where you are now. So, you know, we say just be patient.
Yes. Yeah. And also there's always, you know, the soul's purpose, right? So there is a purpose for the soul to experience even the darkest nights of sickness. So it's important to trust as well our path. One last thing before we leave. You have developed your own system, your color system of homeopathic remedies, and then your sound system or homeopathic remedies. Can we shortly tell our listeners a little bit about this? Because maybe this can be the topic for our next conversation, but I really want to leave them with a little bit of this before we close.
Sure. In 1990, when I went to Britain to study homeopathy, I was in a tutorial with Ian Watson, a wonderful homeopath, and he said, oh, you can make homeopathic remedies out of anything. And I said, what about color? Because I'm an artist. I came to homeopathy as through psychotherapy, but before that as a trained artist. And he said, color? I don't know. Why don't you try it? Okay. It took me a long time. I had to do a lot of study. took me 8 years actually. And I developed 10 remedies of color, red, orange, yellow, green, pink, turquoise, indigo, violet, magenta, and rainbow, which is all colors. And I started testing them on people and found that they were highly effective and that they worked on the chakra system. About 8 years ago, up in the mountains of New Mexico, I made the sound remedies, the scale. And they, too, they were even more profound than the color remedies. Then I developed remedies made from holy water. They are exquisitely beautiful. And I've become a product developer, actually. If something bothers me, like I get a toothache or I have trouble dancing, I make a remedy. I love creating remedies. And so what I teach in life energy medicine is I relate homeopathy to the chakra system. The chakras are the energy vortexes that run through the subtle body, and they are organ related, they are life issue related, they are emotionally related. And I have a book called The Life Energy Medicine Bible. You can see it's been decorated. But that's a system that works for me, and it allows me to teach what I know about the chakras, the energy fields, and homeopathy. Because when you can expand that field, you get health, you get resiliency, you get stamina, you get beauty, you get intelligence, you get the gifts of who you are. It's not just throwing darts at a symptom. I don't like that. I like a system that I can work with that has everything contained in it. And I think the chakra system is a very good way of dealing with the subtle bodies and energy fields. Bottom line is homeopathy is an energy medicine, but it's very refined medicine, highly, highly refined, and requires the ability to differentiate not only one remedy from another, but symptoms. What are we looking at here? What needs to be healed here? Is it just a runny nose and a cold? What is it? What is driving that vital force in you to show us these symptoms? That's the real part. That's the part I love. It's like being a Sherlock Holmes and discovering what's really going on in there. And that's how I like to train my students. We run a 2-year certification course, and we have master classes for those that have graduated. We have a clinic we run twice a month where the cases are brought on through Zoom, and everybody comes on and we kick that cabbage, trying to find the best possible remedies to help people. It's a great learning experience for everybody. For me, we've got doctors and naturopaths and nurses and people who are skilled with interviews, people who are trained. We have 2 trained pharmacists. And it's a very small school. I mean, really, to have 2 PhD pharmacists, the medical doctor, a couple of naturopaths, it's an extraordinary school. And they teach me. They really teach me. And they allow me to hand over what I know to. I've been doing it now for 30 years. It's a medicine I love. And it's supported me in my health and well-being so that I can be the spiritual person that I am. So that I can live my life fully till I decide it's time to get off the planet. I have no plans in between that right now.
You can, because I haven't finished studying with you, so you have.
I would just like to say about the virus. Please stop being frightened. Please stop being frightened, because you destroy your own immunological response to life. Affirm yourself. It's a great time. Because we're all locked in, it's a great time for spiritual growth. It's a great time for spiritual inquiry. I started to read the Quran. I started to read books on Kabbalah. It's like, wow, all this time to read these things I've wanted to study for years. Imagine time to meditate and not have to say, oh, I have to get up and go to work right now. No, I'm loving the time. It's like the world gets a good vacation, because we all needed the rest. We've been so stressed for so long. It's a time to regenerate, And if you find yourself compromised in any way, find yourself a good homeopath. That would be my suggestion. God bless you all. Be well.
Yes, and to close our conversation, just made me remember something when I was telling my patients and, you know, some videos that I did before for, you know, the Facebook group that I opened. And I was telling them that I was observing how beautiful, in a way, this all was, you know, because the world, you know, Mother Earth was already looking for some time to breathe. It's like having us all at home has her breathing, you know, expanding, inhaling and exhaling. So you can now, for example, in this country, and I've heard similar stories from different countries, you know, see birds flying, a bird just came, I'm in a 13th floor and a bird just passed my window. So it's like birds around us, and then, you know, butterflies, and we're in the city and we still are seeing these animals around us, and also the beaches are cleaner. The skies are bluer. It's like, you know, the earth is finally breathing. And then it's super interesting because this virus attacks our capacity to breathe. And then what's the most important thing that we can do when we're alive? We breathe. Whenever we are born, we breathe. And we give our first exhalation, our first cry. So the ability to breathe is the ability to be here. And that is one of the things that I think has been a huge problem in our human community, you know? We haven't been breathing. Like, the lifestyles that we've been having is been, you know, we were always in a rush, we were always trying to comply with something, we were always trying to monetize everything that we created. It was like, we were not able to breathe. And now I think this is a beautiful opportunity because we are part of Earth. We are like cells of Earth. So if we breathe, then the Earth breathes. And then as a community that's part of, you know, life, as part of the animals and as part of the plants and as part of this whole environment that we are family with, then we can all breathe.
Well, so, we are family. We are family. We are one global family. You're right. It's I saw something online today about it. In Adelaide, Australia, the streets are absolutely empty, and they showed a kangaroo jumping down the street. I thought, oh my goodness. And I was out in my garden the other day, and I was watering, and a little hummingbird came and actually sat on my wrist. It's like, really?
Really? That's a beautiful omen. That's beautiful.
Oh, it was just magical. And it is, what can I say? There's no traffic. there are things. It's a time of rest and regeneration. It's spring. We've had Passover and Easter, and this week we have Ramadan. It's a time to go in. It is a time to be grateful for life and bless the souls that have left, bless them and their families. And let's find a new way, a quieter, more gentle, a more aligned way with spirit. It's time.
Yes. And also, hopefully soon we can have you back here with us, telling more about your color system, your sound system, and also angel, which is a topic that I think that's the first topic we
talked about.
Yes, I think, and I think also that's the first book I got from you, which was my, Ambika has this beautiful deck of cards. It's painted with angels, and it's like beautiful. I think it's my most loved deck so far. So if you're into decks, if you're into angels, you have to look for that in Amazon. You can get it there.
It's called Angels of Light.
Yes.
Angels of Light, yeah. And they're paintings I did over a very dark period in my life.
And now they're so amazing. So you, in a way, transformed, but you transcended that and you gave us something out of that, which is beautiful. So thank you so much, Ambika, for being with us today here. And really, hopefully we can have you soon again telling us more, because there's so much that you can share with us and that you can, you know, you have so much experience and so much knowledge. And something that's beautiful is also your balance of the material world with the spiritual world. And I think achieving that is something we all need to at some point in some life. And we're honored to have you here because you have. So thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. Good to see you again. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Radio show dedicated to sharing the latest news on integrative health, overall well-being, and spirituality. You can follow Inner Healers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Join producer, host, and medicine woman Luciana Stiglich, BASM, every Wednesday for mind and heart-opening episodes. For questions and comments, drop her a line at luciana@innerhealers.org. and support her work by donating on PayPal. Come back next week for another interesting conversation with one of her guests. To remember, you can heal from within. You are an inner healer.